house of the Lord today as well. Let's take our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. Amen. I'm excited today because we had two baptisms last week. We had a baptism the week before that. We've got another two baptisms today as well. Amen. Right after 11:15 service, we praise God for that. We ought to rejoice because the Bible says heaven rejoices. Amen. We praise God for that. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Our main verse is going to be verse 7, but I'm going to read from verse 5. So if you've got your Bible, you get the extra blessing of being able to follow along. If you're just watching the screen, you're going to get the one verse. Paul says to the church at Corinth, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." Paul says, "I don't preach myself, not about myself, but Jesus Christ the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." Paul says, "I am your servant." That's what minister means. Minister means servant. To be in ministry means to be in service, to serve. The Bible says that Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. And so you want to be like Jesus? You're most like Jesus when you're serving. And Paul said that, "We are your servants. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, had shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure," everyone say this treasure, "but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." Paul's making something very clear here. He goes, "I don't preach about myself. I am a servant." He says, "I'm just somebody whom the light shone on me. I was in darkness, but God's light shone on me." He says, I have this treasure in an earthen vessel, and I don't want it to be about me. He said that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Everyone say earthen vessels. I want to speak just on that today. Earthen vessels. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you have called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. Thank you for everybody gathered in this house today, gathered online. For those that will hear this message after time, Lord God, I pray, Lord God, that your anointing would be upon it, that you would speak to every need, every circumstance. Lord God, that you would change us from the inside out. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. You may be seated. Earthen vessels. Earthen vessels. Now, some of you may not know this, but I had two sets of grandparents, my grandparents on my dad's side, and then I never really knew as a young person my grandparents on my mother's side, because my mother, she left home at a very young age and was fostered into a family, and they were an Italian family. And so every Sunday afternoon, without fail, until I was about 6 years old, I would be at my grandfather's house, because he was the pastor of the church, and I would go there, and without fail, there would be two things at lunch every Sunday: olive oil and vinegar. All right? That sounds very Italian. We used to have saladas with chopped up tomato and garlic with olive oil and vinegar. And oh, they were sayos, actually. I don't know if you can buy sayos anymore. And then we used to leave the sayos on the plate to just get all wet and soppy in the vinegar, apple cider vinegar. It was beautiful. I got great memories. Italians, they love their olive oil. In fact, I read on a website... an Italian cooking website, that they even suggest having a spoonful of olive oil every day for your health. I don't know about that. I don't know if I'm going to try it. But olive oil, and Brother Othin, you know, from the same sort of region, he loves his olives and his olive oil as well. But olive oil was fundamental to the Roman life. Very fundamental. And it continues today. In fact, I experienced that as a child. Every lunchtime, olive oil, bruschetta, vinegar, dipping, all of those things. But it was not just about the olive oil being a consumable. Olive oil was also very culturally significant as well. Because the olive oil would be used in bathing, when they took a wash, in religious rituals with anointing and things like that. And they even used olive oil for medical treatment. So they needed a steady supply of olive oil. And so Italy, not being a really huge country, oil would come from two main parts of the world. They would come from Spain and it would come from Northern Africa. It would be transported by ships on the sea. They would transport the olive oil in earthen vessels, terracotta containers. You must have read my notes. My next says amphoras. That's what these earthen vessels or these terracotta containers were called. They were called amphorae or amphoras. And so the oil would come from Spain. It would come from Northern Africa. And so between the 2nd century BC and the 3rd century, there was a river port in Italy by the name of Testaccio. And Testaccio was Rome's river port. That was where the boats would come in. That's where they would unload the earthen vessels full of the oil. And this place of Testaccio, there is a mountain there. It's called Mount Testaccio. And it's not a normal mountain. This mountain is a mountain of broken clay pots. Now, I wonder if anybody has ever actually been to this place. Anybody here ever been there? It's just in the middle of a town, this big mountain of broken clay pots. You can read about it for yourself, because these earthen vessels, they were so cheap that when they were emptied out of all the oil, it wasn't worth returning them to Spain. It wasn't worth sending them back to Northern Africa. It was cheaper for them just to dispose of the earthen vessels at this place on the riverbank. And as they threw those earthen vessels away, there is a mountain there called Mount Testaccio. You see, ignoring the vessels was cheaper. Let's just throw them away. Let's just discard them. You're not going to use them again. They're not worth anything. They are just earthen vessels. And over time, the hill got bigger and bigger and bigger. You see, the value, everyone say the value. The value of the vessel was not in its beauty. The value of the vessel was not in what it looked like on the outside. The value of the vessel was what was inside the vessel. The vessel on the outside looked like nothing, but it was what was inside, the oil that it contained. The contents of the vessel was what was worth the money. And it was these earthen vessels that the Apostle Paul was speaking about. Paul was saying, I am not the treasure. We are not the treasure. We are just earthen vessels. We are just clay vessels. Paul was saying, we the church, we are not the treasure. We are just a vessel. Paul was saying, we may be weak. We are imperfect. We are fragile. And yes, I'm sorry to say, we may even be unattractive containers. I don't want to speak for all of you, but I speak for myself. But God has filled us. God has filled us with His Holy Spirit. God has given us this gospel to preach. And it's not about me. It's not about what I look like. It's not about how educated I am. I am just an earthen vessel that God uses. And Paul says, I don't want you to make a mistake that the power may be of God and not of us. I want to make it very clear that it's not about, Paul's saying, it's not about me. It's not about anybody else. It's not about any of the other apostles. We are just earthen vessels. And I tell you today, it's not about this guy who stands in this pulpit today. It's not about you, but it's Christ inside of us, working through us. We are just earthen vessels. Now, you could either take that two ways. You say, well, Pastor, I came here feeling good about myself. He told me I'm just an earthen vessel. I actually thought I was something. Putting my suit on today, put my tie on, I thought, man, you look good. And you come to church and Pastor tells me I'm nothing but an earthen vessel. Well, I'm sorry to burst your bubble. But Paul was very clear that the power may be of God and not of us. You see, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Sister Kylie already touched on this. The Bible says, but you shall receive power. You see, in that upper room, there were 120 earthen vessels there. What were they doing? They were waiting. They were tarrying in Jerusalem to be endued with power from on high. And there are 120 earthen vessels. And it says, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. You're going to be anointed vessels. He says, I'm going to fill you with my Holy Spirit, and you're going to be an earthen vessel. You're going to be a witness in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and into the uttermost parts of the earth. Everybody say earthen vessels. And so on the day of Pentecost, God poured out his Spirit in that upper room. And in the Bible, oil signifies the Holy Spirit. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. You see, the Holy Spirit is the power of God inside of us. Although I'm just an earthen vessel, I have the power of God inside of me and working through me. And Paul says, don't make a mistake in starting to think that it's anything about the vessel. The vessel's only worth to be thrown on the mountain. It's not about what the vessel is on the outside. It's about what's inside the vessel. And I've come to encourage you today. Maybe you've come to church and think, I don't have very much to offer God. But I want to tell you that let us be witnesses in this world that the power may be of God and not of us. Clap your hands to the Lord today. And that's why we got to be careful of ministries that are focused on the vessel, the vessel, the vessel, the vessel, the vessel. No, it's not about the vessel. It's about God working in the vessel. And let me tell you, you don't have to get some special vessel to lay hands on you. The Bible says, and believers shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Have I got any believers here today? Lift your hand if you're a believer today. Praise God. You have power to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You're a vessel. Yes, but it's God working through you. 2 Timothy 2 verse 20 says, but in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. And so Paul was saying the honorable ones in man's view are the gold and the silver. But the clay vessels and the wood vessels, well, and the earth vessels, they're just dishonorable. Your clay was just common. Clay was just cheap. It was literally disposable. The vessels of clay were even used in the house. Yeah, some of them were used for cooking, but the vessels of clay were also used for taking the waste from the toilet and disposing of it. The vessels of clay were used for all of the kitchen waste. And that's what Paul was saying. In a great house, there's vessels of gold or silver, and there's vessels of wood and earth, vessels of honor and dishonor. And so Paul was not describing the vessels of gold and silver. He was describing us as earthen vessels. And Jesus came to use earthen vessels. He came to seek and to save the weak. He didn't come for the gold and the silver. The Bible says, and Jesus answering said unto them, that they that are whole need not a physician. I didn't come for the whole. Those that are whole don't need a physician, but they that are sick. He says, I came not to call the righteous. He said, but I came to call sinners to repentance. You see, from the very beginning, God was looking for the weak. Look, God was looking for those who are broken. God was looking for those who are lost in darkness. God was looking for those who were lost in sin. He said, I did not come to call the righteous, but I came to call sinners to repentance. In Romans chapter 5, verse 6, Paul says this, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Everybody say earthen vessels. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 25 to 29. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen. Who hath chosen? God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And God hath chosen the base things of the world, and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught the things which are. Here it is, that no flesh should glory in his presence. No flesh can glory in his presence. Why? Because if God chose us, we were one of these categories. We were broken. We are just earthen vessels. And if God uses you, and when God uses you, I want to tell you, it is God working through you. Just remember, I'm just an earthen vessel. I'm not worthy to be used of you, God. But God, you can use me, even as foolish as I am. People may look at me and think I'm just average, I'm just cheap. But God can use you. I tell you, God is calling earthen vessels today. It's time to stop writing yourself off. It's time to stop putting yourself down and say, if God has chosen me, if God has filled me with his spirit, then God wants to use me. Hallelujah. You see, the gospel was not carried by the upper class. You look back in the Bible times, it wasn't carried by the upper class. You see, the greatest scholars in the world at the time were in Egypt, but God didn't use them to carry the gospel. He overlooked Herodotus, the historian. He overlooked Socrates. He overlooked Plato. He overlooked Hippocrates, the father of medicine. He overlooked Aristotle, the ancient Greek philosopher. He overlooked Euclid, that Greek mathematician. He passed all of them by. He passed all of those great scholars. He passed all of them by. Why did God pass them all up? Because he was looking for earthen vessels. He was looking for somebody that he could use. And when God began to use them, the world would say, it can't be them, it has to be God. It can't be them, because they're just an earthen vessel. That the power may be of God, Paul says, and not of us. And so Paul, he was a great apostle. He wrote much of the New Testament, probably the second greatest preacher, I say, aside from Jesus Christ. But Paul knew in his heart, he says, I know that I am just the messenger. I am not the message. I am the messenger. He says, for we preach not ourselves. I'm not the message. I am the messenger. He says, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Now, Paul, we know a little bit about Paul. He persecuted the Christians. He was a murderer, all of those sort of things. And when God shone that light around about him on the road to Damascus, there was a transformation in his life. But how did Paul see himself? Well, in 1 Timothy 1, verse 15, he says, I'm thankful that God saved me, a sinner, okay, and I am the chief of sinners. He called himself the chief of sinners. He says, I am the least in 1 Corinthians 15. He says, I am the least of all the apostles. I don't know how I got this job. He goes, I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle. Remember what I used to be like before I came to the Lord. What else did Paul say in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8? He said, unto me, and he puts in comma, who am less than the least of all saints. He says, you maybe call me pastor, but when I see myself, I am the least of all saints. But grace has been given to me that I should preach unto the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. He says, I am the least of all the saints. I'm nothing special. I'm just an earthen vessel. But God's grace found me in my time of need. And here I am. I don't know how I got this job, but I'm preaching to the Gentiles. I'm preaching amongst the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. I don't deserve to be preaching these riches, but God found me on the road to Damascus. I was in my lowest point in life. I'm just an earthen vessel, but God is using me. Paul says, don't look at me. It's God working through me. So we go to our text. He says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. He was speaking to the church at Corinth, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We need to understand a little bit about the background here to help us to see more. You see, Paul had established this church for a period of 2 years at this time. And after he left the church at Corinth there and he went on, not long after that, some false teachers came. These false teachers, when they came into the church, they had an agenda to teach lies. And so in order to be heard, these false teachers had to do something. They had to discredit Paul, the apostle. They had to discredit him. They had to dethrone him. And so there was an all-out assault of Paul. They attacked him. And when he was absent, they did everything they could to discredit Paul. And they were ruthless and they were relentless. And they assaulted him. You know what they picked on Paul? They assaulted him for his physical defects and his shortcomings. They said, look at him. Look at his human weaknesses. They assaulted him and criticized the way he looked and the way he spoke. And so Paul is addressing these false apostles, these false teachers. In 2 Corinthians 10 verse 10, he tells us what they were saying. For his letters, say they, are weighty and powerful. Yeah, his letters are good. You know, you can read them. They're great. They're weighty and powerful. But his bodily presence is weak and his speech is contemptible. What a terrible thing to say. They say, well, when he writes, he's powerful. That's good. But when you actually look at him, his bodily presence is weak and he doesn't know how to preach and he doesn't know how to speak properly. Now, I thought about that. If I'm ugly, you can at least close your eyes and listen to the preaching, all right? And if I can't preach and I'm good looking, well, at least you can open your eyes and you can at least see, get something out of that, you know? But they were saying, Paul, he's not good looking and he lacks charisma and he can't preach. So why go to that church? Why listen to him? He's just an earthen vessel. I mean, his letters, they're all right. But you know what? He's ugly. He has no charisma. He's not fancy. He can't preach. His words are contemptible. He doesn't have what it takes to motivate people. Can you imagine being the Apostle Paul? History describes Paul. And I found this just recently. It kind of inspired me a little bit because it was in the Christian magazine called Christianity Today. And it was called Bald, Blind, and Single. What did Paul look like? He was bald-headed, bow-legged, short man with a big nose, an unbroken eyebrow. That means he had an eyebrow that just went all the way across. That lay across his forehead like a dead caterpillar. That could be me. That's what Paul looked like. I read another article that says that Paul was small in stature, bald, I'm in good company, bow-legged, shapely, which means he had curves. Don't call me shapely. Had a rather long nose, but then this other description, this really made me laugh. Had a rather long nose, but full of grace. I don't care about the earthen vessel. Let me be full of grace. Let me be full of grace. Brothers and sisters, it doesn't matter what we look like. Doesn't matter about our backgrounds. Doesn't matter if you're bow-legged. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter what mistakes you've made in the past. Let me tell you, God has poured His grace on you. He has saved you like the Apostle Paul. And now you have this treasure in an earthen vessel. I may not be much to what people went to look at. I may not be much in what I can say, but God can use me. I want to tell you today, God can use you. It doesn't matter who you are, God can use you. Start looking around your workplace, start looking around your neighborhood and say, who can I share this treasure with? Oh, the Apostle Paul. We're going to look a little bit more about the Apostle Paul. He says this in Galatians 4. He says, you know how through infirmity of the flesh, he says, you know, when I was sick, I preached the gospel unto you at the first. And my temptation, which was in my flesh, you despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. The New Living Translation says, of verse 14, but even though my condition tempted you to reject me, even though I don't look like much, and when I walked in here, you were tempted to reject me because all you could see was the earthen vessel. But even though my condition tempted you to reject me, you did not despise me or turn me away. You received me as an angel of God. Now, we need to understand a little bit while Paul was writing this to the church of Galatia. A little Bible study for us. The church of Galatia, he says, when I preached to you, I was sick. I was broken. And the Bible gives us a clue. Because in Acts chapter 14, verse 19 and 20, this tells us what happened before he went to Galatia. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, he was stoned. They drew him out of the city. They dragged him out of the city, supposing that he had been dead. He had been beaten so badly that they thought he was dead, dragged him out of the city. Howbeit, as the disciples stood around about him, so the disciples gathered around Paul and they dragged him out of the city. And I'm assuming that they stood around to try and hide the fact that he still had life in him. He rose up. Look at this. He rose up and came into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. Where is Derbe? It's in the region of Galatia. And so after being stoned within an inch of his life, he gets back up and he goes to Derbe, a broken and a sick man. Derbe is in the region of Galatia. And the letter to the church of Galatia is written to that whole region, to the churches at Galatia. And Paul went there with a physical illness. Bruised, beaten, broken. And so when he wrote this, he said, you received me. And when I came to preach to you, I was sick. When I came, I want to thank you for not throwing me away. I know I was missing teeth. I know I had bruises all over my face. I know I wasn't walking like I normally walk. I was a broken man. But thank you for treating me with respect. Thank you for receiving me with such honor. You treated me as you would treat an angel. And so our text is Paul defending himself of the accusations of the false teachers. He's nothing. Look at him. And Paul told them, he said, I didn't come with wisdom. I didn't come with knowledge. I didn't come with all manners of fancy speech. He says, I trembled. I knew I was out of my league. Let me tell you, don't despise the trembling. Don't despise the nervousness. Don't despise the feelings of not being enough. Why? Because it reminds us that I'm just an earthen vessel. And the power is not in the vessel. The power is what is in the oil, which is inside of me. It's not in the outside. It's on the inside. It's the power of the Holy Spirit working through me. Don't write people off by what they look like on the outside. Don't write people off because of what education they've got and all the letters behind their name. Don't write them off for what they've been through in their life. We are earthen vessels. The power is not in the vessel. It's in the contents of the vessel. Clap your hands to the Lord today. God can use you and I. For we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Paul is saying, even in my frailty, God decided to use me to bring the gospel. It's God working through me. And every single one of us today, I look across this room, and there's no exception. We have weaknesses. You have physical weaknesses, emotional weaknesses, relational weaknesses, intellectual weaknesses, financial weaknesses. When we talk about weaknesses, don't get me wrong, I'm not talking about weaknesses that are sins that we can change and leave behind. I'm not talking about those sort of weaknesses, like, you know, greed and laziness and immorality. Yeah, if they're weaknesses, you need to get right with God. But weaknesses, what I'm talking about, weaknesses are limitations in my life that I can't change. It's who I am. And there are all kind of limitations like that. You look through all the characters in the Bible that were greatly used of God. They had weaknesses. Even Paul himself, he had a thorn in the flesh. He prayed and God didn't take it. Physical defects we were born with. External circumstances which are beyond our control. Unexpected financial setbacks. Relationship pressures. Emotional tendencies that we are predisposed to. Some things we just can't do because we don't have the talent. The real issue is not, do I have a weakness? Because we all have them. The question today is, what are you going to do with your weakness? Well, what we normally do is we normally deny them. We defend them. We excuse them. We resent them. Most of all, most of us even try to, you know, just brush them under the carpet somewhere. We don't want anyone to see our weaknesses. But then God comes along and says, you know what I want to do with your weaknesses? I want to use them. Paul, your weaknesses, I want to use them. You see, the greatest thing that a weakness does for us, listen to me, I'm getting to my point. The greatest thing that a weakness does for us is it gives us a ministry. God put us on earth not just to live for ourselves, but to be servants. Everybody say servants. And I've learned this in the time that I've been in ministry and in church, that your greatest ministry will flow out of your weaknesses. The fact that you are an earthen vessel, your greatest ministry will flow out of your weaknesses. Your greatest life message will come. Listen to me carefully. Your greatest life message will come out of your deepest hurt. Let me tell you, the very thing that caused you the most grief and pain, let me tell you, God can use it as a message to help other people. That's the beauty. When we've been through things, you can relate with people like no one else can relate with them because you've been there, you've experienced, you've been through that. The very thing that you thought was going to destroy you, I know God has, this thing has happened and you cried out to God, but He didn't remove that thorn. You had to go through it. But God can still use it for His glory. God can still use you to minister to someone else. Let me tell you, don't waste your valleys. Don't waste your valleys. If you're going to go through a valley, you say, well, you know what? If I'm going to have to go through this valley, I'm going to make sure I get something out of it. If I'm going to go through this valley and through this dark time, I'm going to make sure I come out with a ministry. I come out with something that I can tell somebody else and encourage somebody else. Don't waste your valleys. God is using us. We are earthen vessels. Your weaknesses are the place that give you, they give you a place of ministry. Joel chapter 3 verse 10, as I get ready to close, if the musicians could come. Joel chapter 3 and verse 10 says, beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. If you're weak today, let the weak say, I am strong. Oh, you say, Pastor, look at me. Look at my circumstances. Look at my life. Look what I've been through. Look at my limitations. Listen to me speak. Let the weak say, I am strong. Nobody thought of using plowshares for swords. People say, well, that's not a weapon. Beat your plowshare into a sword. You still got something. You still got something. And your pruning hooks. Who would have thought that pruning hooks, you could take them to battle? Yep. And your pruning hooks, turn them into spears. Because I'm going to be with you. Let the weak say, I am strong. And Paul said to the church at Philippi, he said, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Let's all stand here today. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Now, that verse is a favorite. Many people write that verse down. It's your favorite verse, Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But some people get a wrong perception of it. They think it's the sort of verse that you're standing on the edge of a precipice and you're wondering what's going to happen and you just step out and you're like, oh, well, I guess I can do all things through Christ. That you're kind of looking forward and saying, I can do all things through Christ. But that's not the way the Apostle Paul saw it. He was looking back over his life and he's saying, everything I've been through, everything that's happened, when I look back, I realize that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There's going to be nothing too hard. There's going to be nothing too difficult. God will give me the strength. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 29 says, He giveth power to the faint. Somebody say, thank you, Lord. And to them that have no might, He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. The young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I want to tell you today, every single person under the sound of my voice, God can use you. Where do I start? Well, start where you are. Start with the people that God has put in your life. There are no accidents or there's no, the word has just slipped my mind. There's no things, starts with C. Coincidences. There are no coincidences with God. You're where you are because God put you there. The field is the world. The seed are the children of the Son of God. The field is the word. So God plants you where He wants you. He plants you on purpose. He plants you with the purpose of productivity. So start where you are. Be faithful in the position that God has placed you. Grow where you are planted. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I want to tell you, God wants to raise up an army today. What? An army of gold vessels? No. An army of silver vessels? No. An army of earthen vessels. You know why? Because the people can only say, it has to be God. It has to be God. That the power shall not be of man, but the power shall be of God. That they'll be able to say, I know those people, they're just earthen vessels, but look what the Lord has done. God is speaking to somebody today. God is speaking to somebody. Even the hurt that you've been through, the grief you've been through, God can use you to speak and to minister to people that He can't use other people. You are, we are, you are, I am, earthen vessels. Let's lift our hands right now and receive what God is speaking to us. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, let this word just marinate in your soul right now. Let God speak to you right now. Lord Jesus, thank you for calling me. Thank you for saving me, just an earthen vessel. Lord God, Lord, when I look at myself, I don't think I have much to offer. But Lord, through the power of your Holy Spirit working inside of me, Lord God, I give my life to you today. Lord, I give my life to you today. Lord, if you can use anything, you can use me. If you can use the Apostle Paul, you can use me. If you can use Moses, you can use me. If you can use Job, you can use me. If you can use Peter, you can use me. Oh, yes, if you can use David, you can use me, God. If you can use Abraham, you can use me. Oh, God is calling earthen vessels. Let an army of earthen vessels rise up and say, Lord, if you can use anything, you can use me. My weaknesses, my shortcomings, and Lord, I know you want to use me today. Oh, let's lift our hands and surrender to God right now and say, God, Lord, I receive the word that has been spoken over me today. Hallelujah, I receive the word that has been spoken. You see, prophecy is not just foretelling, it's forthtelling. Prophecy has come forth today, speaking into lives, speaking to you the word of God, what God is saying to you right now. As the word has gone forth, yes, one message has gone forth, but every single person, God is speaking to us individually, to our circumstances. God is speaking. God is speaking to your heart, to things that are common to your life only. Specific things. This altar is open. Let the earthen vessels come and say, God, fill me again. Touch me again. Lord God, I want to give my life to you. I don't want to just be an earthen vessel on the shelf, Lord God. But Lord, you've chosen me. You've filled me. Lord, you want to use me in these last days. Lord, here I am. Lord, use me. This altar is open. Let those earthen vessels come. God wants to use you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, yes, Jesus, come on. Look.